Take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5 tonight, if you would. Proverbs chapter 5. I was delighted to walk into that prayer meeting earlier tonight and see all the folks that were in attendance. Thank you so much for coming. God will bless that. And I know that God was listening to what we were saying. God was hearing our prayers. And I believe God began to work immediately in the hearts of people we were praying for. And I think even tonight we maybe already have seen some answers to those prayers. And so we need to keep praying specifically for those people back there that we mentioned. And throughout the week also individually. And let's be very sensitive to God's Spirit, because some of you who were there mentioned individual people. And they were ones that God has brought across your path. Be praying for another opportunity this week. Be praying for them to, for God to open a door, a divine appointment for you to say another word to them, maybe to invite them again to come. So let's be faithful as God's Spirit leads. And for those who were not there, let me encourage you again. You'll be very blessed by coming to pray. And I understand some are getting off work and there's some schedule conflicts at times, but do your best to be in the prayer meeting. That's one of the most important things that happens this week, all right? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 5, and we will be looking at verses 21 through 23 tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." Verse 23. "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you for every person who's come tonight. I count it a privilege to be the person up here this evening to proclaim the truth. And God, I ask that you would take control this evening. I thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing and the messages that were contained within them, and how they prepared our hearts for more truth to be received now from your word. And I ask that you would continue to move in this service, that you would guide us by your Spirit. I pray for wisdom during this preaching time, that you would cause me to say exactly what not just these people need to hear, but I need to hear myself from you. And Lord, I ask that you would work in my heart, and that you would make me very tender toward your Spirit. And Lord, I pray for my friends here who have come tonight. I thank you for each one of them, and I pray that you would cause us all to be knowledgeable of your presence here in this room, and to be convicted by your Spirit when we ought to be concerning different matters of our lives right now. Lord, I pray that you would make the application very clear to our hearts. And I ask that you would receive all the glory, that you would shine, and that a man would not be seen this evening, but that you would be seen in your holiness. I ask these things in Jesus' name, because he is the Savior, and he is God, and he is alive today. Amen. No one likes to be tricked. No one likes to be lied to or deceived or the brunt of a practical joke. I can remember an incident that a friend of mine recently told me about when he was a younger man. He was on a job site with some of his friends, and he said that there was one of his friends there. It was this big old tough black man. And he was this tough guy, and my friend went over to the construction area there where the walls weren't quite finished, and he thought, "I'm going to get this guy." He walked over to where there were some bare wires sticking out of the wall. And he said, "Hey, look, it's not on. It's fine." And he held on to this thing and was getting shocked the whole time. But he didn't let it show. And he said, "See, it's fine. You come over, you try it." And this big old black guy comes over and he grabs on. Woo! He just reacted in the funniest way. And nobody likes to be tricked. But he was. I can remember another incident. I was back with our teen group in my home church. I preached and taught them for a while. And I went back there to the podium one Wednesday night, and one of those guys had a pen sitting on the podium. I didn't think anything of it. I put my Wednesday night bulletin down there, and I picked up that pen. I was going to write a note, and I went like that on the pen pusher, whatever you call it, and it started shocking me, and they just started cracking up. Nobody likes to be tricked. Nobody likes to be deceived. I can remember another time back on the farm. I wasn't there, but I remember some friends of mine. They were there having kind of a teen activity, and some of the guys and girls were out in the pasture area, and they were talking about this electric fence. And they said, "Oh, it's not on." And they convinced one of the girls to go over and touch it. Well, actually, what happened first, let me explain. One of the guys said, "See, it's not on," and he went and touched it, and he said, "It's not on." And what was happening was one of the other guys was up in the garage, and he had it unplugged. And then when they got the girl to go over, she went and touched it, and it was plugged back in by that point, and she got it. Nobody likes to be tricked. Nobody likes to be lied to. But that is exactly what happens every time we sin. You see, it is either an outside influence that begins to deceive us or trick us into thinking that sin is a good option. Whether it's a billboard, whether it's an ad, a bad newspaper article or something. Some outside influence, maybe a bad friend. Some outside influence may trick us and deceive us into thinking sin is okay for a moment. Or maybe we even convince ourselves that giving into a temptation is the best thing for me right now. It's what I want, and so I'm going to do it. Tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Taken by Trickery." Taken by trickery. Every time we sin, we choose, whether it's an actual mental choice where we think it through or just we allow it to happen. We choose to allow ourselves to be taken by Satan's trickery. And he's the master of it. Don't be fooled by the trickery of the devil. Young people here tonight, you hear me. Don't be fooled by the trickery of the devil. There's a lot of older people in this room tonight. They've lived a lot longer than you and me. And they would tell you, don't be fooled by the trickery of the devil. It will leave its mark. It will ruin and destroy your life. And I'd like us to look at Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 through 23 tonight and pull out a few principles about the trickery of the devil. Here are three lies that I believe we can see in this passage that we often fall prey to believing. Number one, I want us to notice the lie of secrecy. Number one, the lie of secrecy. Here in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." We were thinking about this a little bit last night. You remember how nothing is hidden from God? There is no place that we can go where we can hide our actions from Almighty God. There is nothing that we can say that God does not hear. There is nothing that we can watch on TV that God does not see. There is no friendship or relationship that we have in life that God is unaware of. There is nothing that we can put in our closet that God does not know it's there. Nothing is hidden from God. And you know, there may be a church member who can hide something from their pastor. And there may be a teenager who can hide something from mom and dad, but they cannot hide it from God. There is an almighty God in heaven who knows all and sees all. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Job chapter 34, verse 21, "For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings." Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." Jeremiah 23, verse 24, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see? Saith the Lord, doth not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord." Habakkuk chapter 4, verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. It says in Psalm 139 that we were looking at last night. You remember? God knows our down sittings and our uprisings. God understands our thoughts from afar off. And on it goes. There is no place we can hide from Almighty God. And I want to say, if you're a young person here tonight and you are just waiting to get out from under the authority of your family and your home, and you just can't wait to get out and be on your own so that you can get away from it all and do your own thing, listen, there is an almighty God in heaven who is watching your every move. Maybe you've been attending church for a long time, but there's some things that you've been doing without anyone else knowing. God knows about it. Nothing is hidden from God. We could study the story of Achan, as we mentioned the other night. Achan sinned and took of the spoils of Jericho, but God saw it all. The Bible also teaches us that not only is nothing in our lives hidden from God, but also secret sin is always revealed and judged by God. You say, "Well, Brother Dan, isn't it possible that someone could commit sin in secret and it could go for many, many years and no one would ever find out? And isn't it possible that if that person was trying to hide his sin from a particular individual, that he could actually hide his sin and that person could never find out about it?" Well, in a way, yes, that is possible. But listen, secret sin is always revealed eventually and judged by God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Jeremiah 17, verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You see, God says eventually everything will be made known. And so, my friends, if there is sin in our lives, and we've been trying to hide it from God, we've been trying to hide it from authority, we've been trying to hide it from mom or dad or brother or sister or anybody, we better have known tonight that that is futile. Because God will reveal it. Some people try to hide their lust and their sinful practices that they do on the internet. Some people try to hide what they do in their tax return. Some people try to hide the speed that they go down that back country road. And when they see that police officer, they are quick to hit the brakes. Oh, people try to hide all kinds of things. And friends, if we are going to be holy people before God, then we had better mark that secret sin in our lives and confess it and forsake it and choose to follow God and not go down that path. Because when we do, we are being taken by trickery. We are being taken by the lie of the devil, the lie of secrecy. Number two, I want us to notice this evening, the lie of liberty. First of all, the lie of secrecy. It says in verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." But number two, the lie of liberty. It says in verse 22 now, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." God is describing someone who's choosing the wrong path in life here, the wicked path. And God is describing that wicked individual, that way, that person who's choosing their way instead of God's way, God describes them as being taken. He describes them as being holden, trapped, imprisoned with the cords, the bands of their own sin. Number two, the lie of liberty. You see, here's what the devil tries to do in our lives. He tries to tempt us, and he tries to convince us. And the world and all their advertisements and all their glamour and all their supposed pleasure to be had that they show, that the devil is using all that to try to convince us of this, that if we choose our way and we go down the path that we really want to, instead of choosing God's way for life, that somehow we'll find true fun and we'll find true freedom, and there will be liberty, and there will be joy, and there will be pleasure if we do what we want to do. It's a lie. It will deceive you, my friend. The devil's trying to trick you. And God's word has the wisdom that will protect you in life if you recognize the devil as the liar this evening. This book contains the truth. This book, I believe with all my heart, has the answers to life, and you had better take a good long look at it in your life as well, and I pray that you would come to the same conclusion. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's right in this book. This book contains the path to everlasting life. And my friend, the devil is trying to offer you an alternative. He's trying to convince you that his way is better than God's way. He's trying to put out all the advertisements. He's trying to shout the loudest. He's trying to get your attention and tell you that if you choose his way in life, it's going to be a whole lot more fun. If you come over here, buddy, I'm going to give you everything you want. If you follow me, then I'm going to make sure that you are happy. And there's a lot of people who are believing it. There's a lot of people who are going down that destructive, sad path. And what are they finding, friends? They're finding drug addiction. They're finding alcoholism. They're finding immoral relationships and disease. They're finding all kinds of destruction. And my friend, if you choose that path, that's exactly what you'll find too. There's no freedom to be had there. There's no joy. There's no lasting pleasure. So here's the principle that God's word teaches us. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. The Bible teaches us this, that sin promises freedom, but it only creates bondage. Sin will promise you freedom, but my friend, it will only create bondage. So don't go down that path. Dear friend, maybe you've been in church for a long time, but there's been some things slipping in your life. There's been some secret sin. There's been something you've been hiding. You're going down that path and you're believing that lie. Sin is saying to you, come over here, there's freedom and there's more fun to be had. But it will only create bondage in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You see, the Bible teaches us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible teaches us that you cannot serve two masters, because you either hate the one and love the other, or love that one and despise that one. You can't serve two. You can't have a split loyalty. You can't go your way in life and try to go God's way in life at the same time. It will not work. And you know, that brings us right back to what we thought about on Sunday morning. Remember the Gadara conversion? You remember that God wants us to go all the way for Him? Oh, not just part way. Oh, not just as far as I think it's acceptable before God. You know, if I take this step and that, then He'll be happy enough with me, and I can just kind of go on cruising through life, and I don't have to worry about going as far as a pastor would with all this religion stuff. You know, I don't have to go soul winning. That's for Him to do. Oh, I don't have to be in prayer meeting. That's for those people to do. I'll just be satisfied taking it this far. Folks, we ought to have a Gadara conversion. We ought to go all the way for God. Because when we don't, we're believing the lies of the devil. And we're thinking that sin will bring us more joy than God's way. But it, in truth, will only create bondage. Sin promises freedom, but it only creates bondage. You remember the story of Samson? There in the book of Judges, God rose up Samson to do a mighty work for Him. But his life ended in a very sad way. And it would have been amazing to find out what God could have done or what God would have done with his life if he would have just had that Gadara conversion and gone all out for God. But there were times in Samson's life when he chose his way instead of God's. And he made a little wrong choice there and a little wrong choice there and another little wrong choice here. And the more he made those little wrong choices, the more he became in bondage to sin. And he continued down a very destructive path. And you remember the story. Delilah, his hair was shaved, his strength was gone. His eyes were put out, and he was grinding corn with a millstone, doing the work of a donkey. And his life ended as he, though was used of the Lord right at the very end to show God's power. God gave him very much grace there in that moment. And he pushed the walls down. The pillars, he pushed the pillars, and there was a victory won. But, oh, there could have been such a greater victory if he had just chosen to go all out for God. My friend, what about you in your life? You could see so much more victory. You could find so much more joy. You could find the satisfaction that you truly are longing for if you would just choose to go all out for God. Sin promises freedom, but it only creates bondage. It eventually will get you if you continue down that path. And true freedom can only be found, get this, within God's boundaries. It won't be found out there in the world. It won't be found down that path that you desire to go down. It will only be found within the boundaries that God has created. How do we know those boundaries? Right here in this book. If you're a young person here today, then you had better learn this book so you know how to live. And you know what Almighty God expects of you. And He'll give you the grace also to live that way that He wants you to live. You know, you can't do it on your own. We can't keep all the things here that God has instructed us to do, but He helps us to do it as we simply yield to Him each day and say, "Lord, I know my path isn't as good as your path, so I'm choosing your way. Lord, I'll make another decision here. I'm going your way. Oh, Lord, you want me to take that next step? Okay, I'll do it. Simply saying yes, just obey. Trust and obey. That's what God's looking for. That is revival. You know it? That's what it really is. Revival is simply getting back to the basics. I'm reading a good book on revival entitled Back to Normal. It's talking about the fact that revival in a believer's life is simply going back to living how they used to in Acts chapter 2. You know the early church? How they just wanted to go all out for God and they saw amazing things happen and they just wanted to do that so much because they were struck so by the love of God for them. And they said, well, if God loves me that much, then I'm going to love Him that much. True freedom can only be found within God's boundaries. Young person, listen to me tonight. God has given you authority in life. And I know that's not always easy to accept. But God has given you parents. He's given you maybe a mom or a dad. He's given you teachers at school. He's given you authority beyond that. There's police officers that we should be thankful for, and they watch out for us and protect us. God has given this authority structure. He has set it up. He has put it in place. And it would do you well to accept that as from God and say, I'm going to live the way God wants me to live within that authority structure. And if God is setting a boundary there through that authority for me, then I am going to willingly submit to that. Why? Because I believe this book. And I understand that it teaches me true freedom is only found within God's boundaries. And so I'm going to stay there instead of trying to push them like so many of you are. Maybe not in this room, but you know those who are trying to push the boundaries. Oh, don't you be a part of that. You make a choice today to stay within God's boundaries. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There are many people in life who are living with a giant hole in the middle of their heart. And they're trying to fill that up with so many different things. They're trying to put entertainment in there. And they're buying the latest video game, and they're buying the latest gadget, and they're renting the latest movie, and they're just saturating their lives with the entertainment that the world has to offer, hoping that that will fill that void. But it never does. The computer game gets old, and the movie becomes replaced by something else, and you know, it just never really does it anymore. But they keep chasing down the road of entertainment. There's others in this community even who are trying to fill that void with relationships. Friends here and friends there and girlfriend there and boyfriend there. And they're doing all they can to fill that empty spot. That hole that God has put there that only He can fill. You see, true freedom, true joy, true love can only be found within God's boundaries. Number one, we see the lie of secrecy. Number two, we saw here in the passage, Satan's lie of liberty. But now number three, finally, I want us to notice the lie of security. Number three, the lie of security. Here it says in verse 23, still speaking of this person who's wicked, who's choosing the wrong way, it says, he shall die without instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. The devil is trying to sell a third lie to the world, and to you and to me, and that is the lie of security. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Oh, come on down here. Have a good time. Do what we do. And it will be A-OK. No one will find out about it. You'll get home all right tonight. Just have a good time right now. The lie of security. Oh, my friend, the Bible teaches us a very different picture about life. The Bible teaches us that if we go down that path, there is not security to be had, but only destruction. And it teaches us this, that all sin, whether a big sin, as we would make it in our mind, or the smallest little sin that, oh, we almost wouldn't call it sin, but God would. All sin has major consequences. You see, we like to think that, oh, this isn't really a big deal. And if it actually has a consequence, it will only affect me and I can deal with it. It's not going to hurt my family. It's not going to hurt my friends. It won't hurt my church. No one else will know about it. It'll only affect me and I can deal with it. And then we like to think about these big sins that, well, if I did that, of course, everyone in the community would know and my reputation would be ruined and God's testimony would be destroyed in the community and, oh, so stay away from that. And then we make excuses for this. Oh, friends, believers here tonight, it's time that we take God at His word and realize all sin, it's wicked before God and He hates every one of it. And it all has major consequences. It will all cause us to fall a little more into bondage. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The most major consequence for sin that the Bible talks about is found in one place, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Did you hear that? What is a wage? It's something that you, what? You can talk to me. Something that you earn. If I work on the job site, I get a wage because I deserve to be paid for my work. And just like I would deserve to be paid for my work, if I'm a sinner, the Bible says my wage for that is death. I deserve to die for the sins that I've committed before a holy God. My friend, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And by sin, death came upon all the world through one man named Adam. Oh, my friend, the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners, no matter how good we like to think we are, and that the wage for that sin ultimately is death, eternity spent in the lake of fire. And so, you know, that's a pretty major consequence for sin. And for someone to go through life and think, all right, all this thing about the gospel and the Bible and salvation and all that, you know, I'm just not quite ready. And I'm just going to put that off and I'm going to just keep having the fun I am having because, you know, I don't really want to give it up yet. Oh, my friend, don't you see that you're going down the wrong path and that it is a major consequence ahead of you for your sin? Death. Not just physical, but that spiritual death. Ultimately, an eternity in hell. And my friend, I want to share with you that you don't have to go down that path. You can come and accept Christ. You can come and get that problem taken care of in your life. You can come to Jesus because He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And if you come to Him today, He can wash your sins away. And if you come to Him today, you can trust Him and Almighty God will forgive you of your sins. And that problem, that plague in your life can be gone forever. And you can have the forgiveness of Almighty God. You can have the gift of eternal life, a home in heaven for all of eternity. Oh, what a trade! Oh, what a deal. We get to exchange our sin and our filthiness for God's righteousness and His love and His forgiveness. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you've never put your trust in Jesus, you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven before a holy God this evening. If you're here tonight and you are not sure that you have a home in heaven and you think you're probably on your way to an eternity in hell, then my friend, I want you to know tonight you can come to Jesus. You can come and be saved tonight. But you have to make that choice. I can't make you. Pastor can't make you. No one else in this room can make you. But you have to see the truth this evening that you are going down the wrong path. Unless you come to Jesus, there's no way that you can be saved from that destruction. All sin has major consequences. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All sin has major consequences. The devil will try to get us to think that it doesn't. The devil will try to get us to think that everything will be okay and that there is security within our sin. But the truth is, life falls apart. All sin has major consequences. But the truth that that God's Word teaches to counteract that is this: true repentance is always greeted with God's forgiveness. You may be here tonight and think, oh, there's no way God could forgive me for something I did in the past. Let me tell you, He can. If He could forgive and save a king, a wicked king like King Manasseh, then He can save anybody. You see, King Manasseh, in all his wickedness, eventually turned to God at the end of his life and got right. And you can too, my friend. It doesn't matter what happened 20 years ago. True repentance is always greeted with God's forgiveness. And the truth is that God is offering to everyone the gift of eternal life. He's holding it out. And all you have to do is recognize that you have a major problem, and it's sin. And it's condemning you to hell, and you need Jesus. Come to Him and rely upon Him alone, and you can have the gift of eternal life. You see, it's nothing that you can do to get yourself to heaven. So many people believe that. They think, even though it's preached loud and clear from pulpits like this, you can't get yourself to heaven. There's so many people that still think in the back of their minds, well, I'm being pretty good here, and I'm doing this pretty well, and so probably God will give me a few points for those things. And it'll probably erase some of these bad things. That is a lie. It will never work. And my friend, Jesus is the way and the only way. Trust in Him alone, and you will find true forgiveness. And you will find a new relationship. A relationship that will or should change your life. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What do you think about your sin tonight? Has there been something you've been hiding? Well, you can get it right tonight. It's time to humble yourself. It's time to put your pride away. It's time to just say, all right, I'm done with this. I'm coming clean before Almighty God. And when you come to Him with that true repentance, you will be greeted with full forgiveness. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise, the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. True repentance is always greeted with God's forgiveness. So the question we need to ask all of ourselves tonight is this. As we examine our own personal lives before a holy God, and we have that mindset of, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. As we do some introspection tonight, the question we better ask ourselves is this. Is there any area in my life that I've been tricked? Is there any area of my life that in my actions I've proven that I have been believing the lies of the devil? That I've thought for a moment that he's right? My friends, if we've been tricked, if we've been deceived, if we've been heading down the wrong path, then tonight it's the time to get right before God. The devil's going to try to trick us. He's going to try to think we can get away with it without anyone knowing. He's going to try to get us to think that there's more fun to be had over there, that there's freedom, but there's not. And he's going to try to get us to think that it'll all be okay, when the truth is, it's nothing like that. My friends, if we need to do business with God, then tonight is the time to do it. Let's get right before God if we've been going the wrong way. Lord, I want you to be glorified in this service. And I ask that you would glorify yourself in closing this service now and doing the work in our hearts that needs to be done. And God, I don't know what that work is. I simply desired the truth to be spoken tonight and you to do it all and glorify yourself. And so, God, I ask that you would give wisdom now during this invitation time, that you would convict in hearts to the point to where choices are made.